Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
All right, welcome back into Overnight America. Kevin Wheeler in for Ryan Recker here on a Wednesday night, taking actually technically now. I mean, technically it's Thursday morning, but I don't really count like a day changing to another day until I've had a chance to sleep, and then when I wake up, that's the new day. So to me, this is still Wednesday night, but obviously, you know, the clock says it's now Thursday morning, 12:06. It's good to be with you though, filling in for Ryan. Happy to have some time to talk. I got a whole bunch more things set up that I want to get into. And if anything catches your attention, if you're loving it or hating it or whatever, you want to pick a fight, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not the sensitive type. Let's just put it that way. I don't need to be patted on the back. If you disagree, that's okay too. We can have some fun with that at 314-436-7900. Now, I saw this video today, and I'm going to play the audio of this clip to get this conversation started. But this is something that, I mean, I think you could probably tell that I was a little fired up about the topic about, you know, debates, like political debates, and the way it's always set up to be so nice and soft for the candidates, and we don't want to make it too hard for them, and we don't want anybody to have to answer hard questions. You know, we have to make everything soft and easy for them, you know, put a little padding on that chair. Don't want anybody getting a sore bum, you know, it's just too hard. That set me off a little bit in the last hour. This probably will set me off a little bit more because of the cause that Jon Stewart is taking on. Now, Jon Stewart is on Capitol Hill, and he's supporting a bill that's going to help veterans, soldiers, that have health problems related to their time serving overseas in war zones. You know, burn pits are something that being conversed. You know, these things have led to, you know, the story is they're toxic fumes that have affected the soldiers. They're not getting the kind of, you know, the kind of medical and health support that they need. And this is where I want to just let Jon Stewart's words kind of set this up. And then I want to follow up on some of the questions that he's asking here. But this is Jon Stewart on Capitol Hill talking about this dynamic where we're trying to find help for sick veterans.
Welcome to another exciting episode of When is America going to start acting like the great country we keep telling ourselves we are? You remember we were here a year ago after a 15-year battle to get Congress to recognize that the first responders on 9/11 were sick and dying and needed health care and disability. And John Field and the Feel Good Foundation and all the first responders and survivors and victims came down to Washington over and over and over again, sick and dying, walking the halls of Congress just to get them to recognize the basic humanity of what they were dealing with, that their selflessness and heroism had put them in harm's way and they had been sick. And when it was done, we thought it was done. But it turns out that the war fighters that were sent to prosecute the battle based on the attack of 9/11, now suffer the same injuries and illnesses that the first responders suffered from, and they're getting the same cold shoulder from Congress that they received. And so the fight starts again. The only difference between the first responders at Ground Zero who were sick and dying from toxic exposure is that that was caused by a terrorist attack on our country. The veterans in Iraq and Afghanistan are suffering the same illnesses and the same toxic exposure because of the actions of our own government.
I mean, if that's not the kind of story that gets your attention, if that doesn't make it give you that burning in your stomach and trying to figure out how in the world is it possible? How in the world is it possible? In this era where we always hear support the troops, and you have all of these events supporting the troops, and you see it at sporting events, you're going to see people with their little American flags, and I'm talking about the people that can do something about those issues. That was John Stewart, again, put up a great fight on behalf of the first responders at Ground Zero on 9/11, and unfortunately, even though they had success a year ago, as he pointed out, it went on for 15 years and people died without getting the help that they needed. And here we are doing it again with soldiers. Why is this necessary? Why is it necessary for a celebrity to have to get involved to raise attention? Why do we have to scold Congress to get action for people that served in the military honorably, for people that did their duty, sacrificed for their country, and got sick because of it? Why does it take an entertainer to push for this? Where are other people on Capitol Hill? How is this even a question? In a country that celebrates and reveres its troops the way that we supposedly do, I mean, we should, and this should never even be a question. How is it even a question that if you go out on active duty and you come back sick, you're going to get taken care of? How is that even in question? I see enough, support the troop bumper stickers and things along those lines, and I hear it. It's just comes out of the mouths of people in D.C. and in other places, but obviously we're talking about, Congress here taking action on this. Why is this so hard? I mean, this is a group of people. And in this case, we are also, beforehand talking about the first responders from 9/11. I mean, these are the groups of people that everybody has yard signs up for. Like, these are our heroes. And they're right. I mean, these are the people that are doing the difficult jobs. And we don't even have it set up where you're automatically taken care of with whatever problem you come back with. Whether that's a grave injury from being shot or being hit by an IED. I mean, whether it's a grave injury, like a physical injury, whether it's your mental health, whether it's illness that comes from, burn pits or whatever else it could be. I mean, like, this should be a simple thing. You volunteered to be there. You were sent overseas to prosecute a war. You had duties to follow. And if you don't come back the same way you went over, you should be taken care of to the maximum. We shouldn't have to have people taking up this kind of a cause. I mean, how is that even possible? Yet the people who do cover these things have the best health care in the world. Don't have any, they decide on their up for themselves what they're going to get. How in the world do we have this problem? Well, I'll tell you, there are a couple of reasons that we have this problem. One, there's no political hay to make in doing this, so it just kind of falls behind all of the other nonsense that's going on. And I guess it's a budget thing, but for God's sake, man, you know, the defense budget is almost $700 billion a year. I think we can scratch out some money to take care of the people that are doing the jobs that need to be done. Spend a little less on something, spend a little more on the humans that it takes to do these jobs, the human beings that volunteer to do it, that choose to make the sacrifice, to choose to take the risk. Why do we need a guy who, again, I mean, Jon Stewart's obviously a very successful television host, successful stand-up comedian. Obviously, he's been around for a long time. But, you know, and he's lending his voice to this because he's very good at voicing these concerns. But why does it take that? How is it not just automatic and understood? I mean, if a professional football player gets hurt on the field, he's taken care of until he's back to normal or healthy or whatever. But, like, if it happens on the field, you're taken care of. Now, it wasn't always the case. Players in previous generations got a raw deal. But the players in these generations, I mean, like, this should be, again, it should be automatic. We shouldn't have to approve new funds or work on a new bill that would help veterans that are sick. If you're a sick veteran, you should be taken care of. And if you don't have the budget for it, then go dig some of that $700 billion. Make a few less bombers, make a few less tanks, and take care of those people. I mean, you're not going to be able to tell me that you can't find the money some way, somehow. Not when you've got that kind of budget to work with. You can scratch and claw and dig in the sofa cushions to make sure that this gets covered. When you hear that, how do you react to that? When you hear that there are people coming home from battlefields sick because of what they dealt with there, because of toxic fumes, and they have a hard time getting the care necessary, what does that do? How do you handle that? And how is this not one of the first things that presidential candidates are talking about and doing something about? How is this not every day a top story on the news? Well, I'll tell you why. Again, I'll tell you why it isn't. Because politics wins over everything. This is clearly more important than one side versus the other politics. I mean, humans are supposed to take care of other humans, but especially in a case where the ones that we're talking about are the ones that chose to serve others by going into whichever branch of the military that they went into. It's just stunning to me that we have the budgets that we have the money that we have, but it's more important to pay off contractors and give them their deals than it is to take care of these people. I mean, it's absolutely sick, and it's, I mean, I wish I had, I don't have brilliant policy answers. It's not my area of expertise, but, I mean, I think we all can agree that that when you see something like this, we can agree that there is right and wrong in this case, and what is right is taking care of the people that make that sacrifice, and what is wrong is either ignoring it, forgetting about it, or prioritizing other things. So I'm hoping that this movement, this push for a new bill that would help these veterans will get moved much more quickly than what we saw for the first responders on 9/11. And I'm going to continue this in a second because I know I'm running a little bit late here. I'll pick this up on the other side. But at what point do we become more action than word when it comes to quote-unquote heroes, whether they be first responders, soldiers, teachers, all these people are saying, you know who the real heroes are. Yeah, well, instead of saying that, maybe somebody should do something for those people above and beyond what's already accepted. We'll get to that next up. Kevin Wheeler in for Ryan Recker in for Overnight America. Hi, Kevin Wheeler back in for Ryan Recker here on Overnight America. And, you know, kind of picking up on the last segment where, you know, I played the audio clip of Jon Stewart talking about now the new fight to make sure that, you know, we're covering the veterans that have come home with health problems related to burn pits. And while, you know, again, while they were serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I keep asking, I keep coming back to this same question, and there's an answer for the question, right? The reason why these things become problems, and the reason why, and this is somewhat connected to the subject I was talking about earlier when it comes to debate formats and all that. The problem is that we just don't do enough as a whole, as a society, to hold people in positions of power accountable. If there's somebody that we voted for, we're going to go easy on them. You know, it's funny, you've probably seen stories along these lines, but, you know, historically it's always been, you know, approval ratings on Congress, Senate, House, whatever, have always been low. It's always low, except when you ask people about the person they voted for, and then it's always higher. It's like the other people are getting it wrong, but my person is really good. And that's the problem, is we don't hold our own people accountable, the people that we voted for and put into office. And until we are all more demanding of these people, until they have no choice but to follow through on this. I mean, like, again, this is something that's so basic. I mean, you come back sick or injured from serving in a war zone, you should be taken care of. I mean, you shouldn't have to ask for help. We shouldn't have to have run celebrities out there to either do fundraisers or to raise awareness. I mean, it should be automatic. And one of the reasons it's not automatic is because we don't hold the people accountable that can make it automatic. No, I like that person. They're the same party that I identify with, so I'm not going to give them a hard time. Man, we got to hold every single person's nose down into that mess on the floor. Because there's a mess on the floor with this. And, you know, making them clean it up and making them, again, regardless of whether it's your team or the other team, these people need to do, I mean, the point is make people do their jobs. But yet there's the level of accountability at the level of politics that we're talking about is basically none. Because people know the folks that voted for them are not gonna turn away from them, so they don't have to change their behavior. They don't have to worry about things that don't immediately concern them, and that's again another big part of this, that being a federally elected official is almost like being campaigning nonstop year round, even when you're not in an election year. And things like this, it's mind-numbing to me that we can see something like this and you don't have everybody see it and say, no, 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 not acceptable, get it fixed now, or we're going to vote you out. And again, I don't care if I voted for you last time. If you're not going to take care of this, next time I get the chance, I will not vote for you. But we don't do that because we're too caught up into the team element of this. Well, this guy's on my team, and I don't want my team to lose a seat at the table, so I got to just – and I have to let it go. No, what needs to be happening is more accountability. Somehow, some way, people being put in a position where they have to answer difficult questions. They have to fix a problem rather than just kind of ignore it because it's not a big enough issue. It doesn't have enough steam. It doesn't have enough smoke. It doesn't have enough fire. It's not sexy enough. I know, God forbid, the expectation is that people do their jobs. And, you know, this is where, you know, when I look at bigger picture issues, I really, you know, the lack of willingness for people to be accountable is amazing. Like, the attitude seems to be, I want to run for office, I want to hold the office, but I don't want to be accountable for anything. I mean, kind of weak person are you if you're not willing to just take on what the responsibility is and just accept the fact that if you do a bad job, you shouldn't have the job anymore? I mean, if you lack the security in your own ability, if you're that insecure where I can't take scrutiny, I can't take criticism, I can't take somebody holding me to the standard that I'm supposed to uphold, then you shouldn't be in the job. Or maybe it's the sports guy coming out in me. Because if you're in a position on a football field or on a hockey, you know, on the ice in hockey or on a court in basketball, or you're a baseball player, if you're in a position where you have responsibilities, you're expected to get that job done. And if you don't, you face scrutiny. You face criticism. You don't get any choice in the matter. But obviously, politics is an even bigger team sport than actual sports are. And, you know, it's more important for my team to keep control of this seat than it is to make sure that person's doing the job the way that it should be done. Kind of on that note, transition into a new topic, one that I was not totally thrilled about. I mean, when I had Mark Reardon in the
call from mom, answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
First hour, we were talking about hopefully things are going to start getting back to normal sooner rather than later. And we're all waiting on a vaccine for coronavirus. You got all the fights going on about masks and who's the what's the. What did we hear earlier Wednesday about this topic of when we can think about more normal life? Get to that next up. Kevin Wheeler in for Ryan Recker here on Overnight America.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
All right, rolling along here on Wednesday night, technically now Thursday morning, but I haven't gone to bed yet tonight, so it won't be Thursday until I wake up sometime tomorrow morning, which will be pretty late in the morning considering how late this is going to go. And I mean, a little behind-the-scenes info. Like, after you do a show, like, let's say, you know, get off at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like, it's impossible when you do a show with some energy, when your mind is running and you're always kind of thinking, it's impossible to just turn around and go to bed. So it's going to take me a little while to kind of cool the engine down, have the brain settle down and chill out so you can fall asleep. So I'll probably be waking up just in time for an early lunch tomorrow. I'll roll out of bed around 11 o'clock. I mean, if I'm not going to get to bed till 3, man, I got to get my 8 hours. Otherwise, I'm going to be a useless lump, and I got to do yard work tomorrow. So I'm going to get some sleep so I can worry about that. Now, that's not really the subject at hand. I wanted to move forward because I think this is partly something that Mark Reardon and I talked about back in the 10 o'clock hour. This is partly something that came up in the news today. And whether it's 100% accurate or not really isn't the point. But you'll get the point as we go. So I don't know if you caught it on Wednesday, but Robert Redfield, who is the director of the CDC, is talking about, you know, vaccines and, you know, when he expects, you know, to have everything kind of calmed down, right? Like, when are we going to get the vaccine? When's it going to... Now, clearly, there is going to be disagreement on all the dates. I mean, because there's disagreement about literally everything. But what I took out of it is, obviously, normal's not going to be here for a while. I mean, we've seen this across the board in regular life, right? Whether it's, you know, going to the movie theaters or not, whether it's eating in restaurants or not, whether it's sports being played or not. I mean, nothing is normal. You know, I know that there are people out there that are acting like everything is normal, and I really wish that there would be less of that. And it could be sooner rather than later, but unfortunately we can't agree to agree on anything. But I found the estimate to be, I wouldn't say discouraging, but certainly, heck, I don't even know if I want to say daunting, but certainly impactful, that we're talking about maybe the second, late second quarter, early third quarter of 2021. So again, you know, the first quarter, January, February, March. So we're talking about April, May, June. So late spring, early summer next year, or late summer, which again is, you know, as we look at it from where we are right now, anywhere from 9 to 12 months from now, before, as Dr. Redfield put it, before we could, quote, get back to our regular life. And, you know, yeah, it's frustrating to hear it sound like it's going to be that long. I mean, I don't like the idea of it. I would love to have an effective vaccine that comes faster than that. I would love for all of this to just go away. I don't think that's really how it works. And I think, you know, that there's a balance. And I feel like I've kind of found a pretty good balance that works. And this is the hard part, is finding the balance that works for you. You know, find the balance of, you know, taking precautions, but also still doing things that either need to be done or that you want to do. You know, I'm going to go into this a little bit more later this hour in the next segment, but there's been a pretty significant debate, as you probably all well know, about youth sports, amateur sports in St. Louis County, and you've probably heard some of the promos running here on KMOX as well about the debate that's going on there. You know, I think in a lot of ways, normal is not going to work, but there are ways that it can work. And that's kind of where I've been in all of this for the last several months. I feel like I've gotten a little bit of a groove where I'm the guy that takes this stuff seriously, right? I'm not blowing it off. I'm not an anti-masker. I'm not going to sit here and scream and yell because I don't want to wear one. I don't want to, but I'm going to, because I trust medical professionals. And I know that some people are like, well, they don't all agree. Yeah, but the majority do. I mean, if you really want to start asking questions about anything, I don't know, ask your own doctor. I mean, I did. I asked mine. We talked about what we need to worry about and what we don't. And I thought I got pretty solid, balanced advice. Don't get your information from stupid YouTube. Don't talk about searching on the internet like you're doing research. That's not research. That's looking for things on the internet. That's not the same thing. And then ask yourself, like, all right, so why do doctors wear masks when they perform surgery? Been doing that for 130 years, 140 years, going back to the late 1800s. Because they know that's going to help prevent potential infections for the patients that they're operating on. So, you know, we know that there's there are benefits to covering your face, and I'm okay with that. And I've found the groove that kind of works where, you know, I have my own little routine. We're talking about a routine that takes a minute or two to take care of. You know, wash your hands, put your stuff away. If you're around a group of people, maybe you take a step further. And if you're not, don't worry about it. But like I don't live in a bunker in my basement. But I do pay attention to what my surroundings are, right? So if I'm going to be outside, I'm not going to worry all that much. Unless I'm going to be near a crowd of people. And even then, I mean, I've done pretty well in avoiding big crowds of people. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I coach youth baseball. I'm out there at practices on Thursdays. I'm out there Saturday and Sunday. And so are a lot of other people. But again, if you keep your distance, I don't think it's that hard, really. I mean, I've been tracking it through these months for obvious reasons. Because I do want to pay attention to the more cautious side. I don't think there's anything wrong with being on the more cautious side of this. Because again, you weigh it, right? Pluses and minuses. What's the worst case for me if I wear a mask and it turns out I didn't need to? All right, worst case is my face got a little sweaty. The worst case. That's it. I was mildly inconvenienced. Well, the worst case on the other side is I make other people sick. Or other people make me sick because I'm not paying attention to social distancing and I'm not paying. So I kind of weigh those two things. I'm like, all right, it's not that hard to stay 6 feet away from people. It's not that hard to slide on a mask when you're going to be indoors with other people. It's easy. So I'm not going to bother with it. I don't need to flex my freedom muscles. I feel like I'm pretty free to do what I want. And I just take these things on a balanced way. And I think, you know, the less we stress out about this stuff, the more you're just like, oh, if you just get into the position where I got a mask with me, it's super cheap, it's super easy. There are all different kinds. You can find one that fits easiest for you. And you just pay attention. Like, that's really what it was. You know, early on when we knew less about this whole thing, yeah, okay, there was a little bit more doubt. There was a little bit more nervousness about, you know, what can I do? What can't I do? Should I minimize the times that I leave my house or should I, you know, do it freely? And as we've gone along, I'm a lot more comfortable with just doing what I want to without being stupid. And that's just it. It's not hard to just exercise common sense. So you could still do the thing like these are things I do. I teach baseball lessons. I go out and I coach. I do radio shows. Some of them from home, some of them in person, you know, in the studio. But when I'm in the studio, I'm just going to follow a couple of simple things and I'm going to be aware of whether I'm around other people. Not just because of what can be given to me, but because if I were ever to become affected, I wouldn't want to give to anybody else. You know, at this point, I had a doctor appointment last week, not a regular doctor appointment. I had to get a upper endoscopy for some reflux, right? Nothing terribly serious. But in advance of that, I had to go get a COVID test just to make sure that we could just to do that procedure because if you obviously test positive, they're going to wait. They don't want the exposure to the doctors and the nurses. So you got to come clear on that. Did that. No big deal. Took me no time at all. Pulled up to the urgent care thing that's all outside. Just boop, come up, stick that thing up my nose. I'm done. That's what I found is that so many of these things that seem like they're going to be a bigger problem than they are just aren't. And it kind of allows you to get into a groove and it's really not that hard to stay there. I don't see any of it as being that difficult. I mean, God, I prefer people staying away from me anyway. There's nothing more annoying than being in line at the store and you got that creeper that's like a foot and a half from you. They got their cart bumping up against your heels. I'm like, all right, back off, man. I think we all need to be more aware of personal space, whether it's social distancing or not. Just like, all right, back off, man. You don't need to be in my back pocket here. So, I mean, I'll expand this to get into youth sports because I feel the same way about like regular daily life as I do about normal activities. Like I talked about this with Mark Reardon in the first hour of the show. Like I've gone to the movie theater. Some people aren't ready to do that. Some people don't want to wear a mask while they watch a movie. I did, and I didn't even notice. Wasn't even a thought. I never sat there going, God, you know, this movie would be so much better if I didn't have this thing on my face, because the thing on my face weighs 3 ounces. And when you're caught up in the movie, and I went to see Tenet, which is really good, by the way, You get caught up in it. You don't even think about those things. Like, I've got no issues with going into public places, no issues with being outside, unless we're talking about being at a concert with 10,000 other people. I don't want any part of that. But I'll get into this a little bit more in the next segment, because I know the youth sports arguments are raging, right? I mean, we all know what's been going on in St. Louis County and the fight for, you know, high school sports, for other youth sports to play there. I know that, you know, the coaching I do, we typically play a lot of games in St. Louis County, but that hasn't been the case. But the games are still going on. They're just going on elsewhere. They're in St. Charles County. They're in Jeffco. They're all over the place. And a lot of it's gone on, and I haven't seen a problem with it because, again, if you pay attention to what's going on around you, you don't have to freak out. We'll get to more of that on the sports side of things coming up next. Kevin Wheeler in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
All right, Kevin Wheeler in for Ryan Recker here on Overnight America. If you want to jump in here in the kind of final hour as we turn the clock to 1 a.m. here at the top, take you up till 2 o'clock, you can join in 314-436-7900 if you hear something that catches your attention. I just wanted to follow up because I'm going to expand on this topic with COVID and youth sports and moving into, like, you know, now college football is underway, and obviously, you know, all of the sports are going on under different circumstances. And I do think that there are challenges for different sports. You know, I mean, I've heard people ask, like, why one sport can go but not another. Well, but because they're all a little different, and the standards that are in place for, you know, minimizing contact with, you know, with people that are not, you know, that you don't really know, like people on the other team, as an example, is a good idea. I think there are ways to do a lot of these sports. I mean, I think it's easier outdoors than indoors. I think it's easier for sports where there is some distancing, like, you know, if you're a runner, for example. So cross country would be this time of year in high school. That's what I did in the fall in high school, ran cross country. If you were like me, you're nowhere near the pack, so you're totally distanced from everybody else because I was a terrible cross-country runner. But, you know, every sport's a little different. I mean, this is why it's really interesting to me, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in the next hour because, you know, the news came out finally today. The Big Ten is coming back. Initially, they had postponed the season, and we're talking about a spring schedule. And obviously, the Pac-12 did the same thing. And now both of them are talking about, and at least the Big Ten is not talking about it anymore. They're doing it. Pac-12 is now talking about being back by the end of October. And I think we, you know, when we look at this from a youth sports standpoint, I mean, like, I fully understand caution and I support caution. But I also don't think we need a one-size-fits-all situation either. I mean, football is very different than baseball or softball, for an example. You know, there are sports where there is more separation. And I think if you're better off, and I know it's going to make people mad if you take it on a case-by-case basis, but I mean, people are mad now. They're going to be mad no matter what. I do think that this is kind of going back to the conversation I had earlier about, you know, finding a routine and sticking with it. I mean, you've got to figure out a way to try to be as normal as possible without being foolish. And that's where I do trust the experts, where I do trust doctors over my own opinion. I can go by my own experience, and I've seen that, yeah, you know what? You can do these things. You can play baseball and socially distance for the most part. There are going to be, you know, small breakdowns here and there, but, I mean, it's not like anything else. I mean, you can have a small breakdown going to a grocery store. I think it's going to be tougher for indoor sports. And football is another, you know, another conversation completely, and we're going to find out more. And I wonder if the good idea might not be to wait on, you know, youth and high school football until you see a little bit more of how it goes with the NFL and college. I know that's a super problem when it comes to scheduling and sports seasons and all that. So, I mean, I understand why people want to get it moving and they don't want to keep sitting around and waiting. But I completely identify with that. But again, with football being so much different than other sports, with the amount of contact that's being made, and you know, even hockey to a degree has that, although it's a little bit different, you know, at youth levels, there's not as much hitting the younger you go. still going to be bumping up on each other and all that. I understand the questions. I think there are ways that some sports can come back sooner than others, but right now it seems like it's a one-size-fits-all, and I think that's probably the thing that is driving a lot of frustration. I'm going to build this and talk a bit about what's going on at the big-time college football level coming up after the top of the hour. Obviously, this is an interesting experiment that we're going to be talking about. We'll get to that next up. Kevin Wheeler in for Ryan Recker here on Overnight America.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.